All right, we're going to kick things off with a couple of updates from stories that Lynn and I spoke about yesterday. The first one being about Batu Caves.
A lot of people believe that certain places of heritage should be kept as it is because our tradition and our respect.
To me, I don't see anything wrong with painting the stairs of the temple itself because I think that makes the temple more unique.
I think the paintings are nice and it's refreshing to see, but I don't think there was ever a problem with the way Batu Caves was perceived in the first place. And to make drastic changes to a historical site may not be the best idea in the long run.
So those were some of the opinions that we gathered here and there about the recent Batu Caves paint job that had Malaysians talking yesterday. We also discussed it. We were kind of fans of it, actually.
I liked it. It looked pretty.
Yeah, but well, it turns out what you like might be illegal.
So a little bit of context. According to the chairman of the Batu Caves Sri Mahamariamman Temple, Tan Sri R. Nadaraja, the makeover was done in preparation for the consecration ritual that we spoke about yesterday, right? So according to Hindu practice, once every 12 years, a temple goes through a consecration ritual. It's a very big deal. Here is some audio of him speaking to the Star about this ritual.
We have to clean the temple, paint the temple, renovate the temple, or construct the temple. After painting everything, prayers, we do consecration ceremony. So 12 years before, the consecration ceremony was held in Batu Cave. After that, this year is the second consecration ceremony of Batu Cave's temples. In between, so many things are held, but totally all the temples in Batu Cave's ceremony will be held on 31st.
So to get down to why the stair painting might have been illegal, the Sri Subramania Swami Temple located on the top of the staircase is actually a National Heritage Site. It's listed under the National Heritage Registry, or the JWN. And any application for renovation needs to go through that department. And according to them, the Batu Caves Committee did not get permission from them.
Yeah, so conservators at JWN were also quoted saying that the paint job had been a disaster for the heritage site. There are even concerns that the colourful coat might cause Batu Caves to be delisted as a national heritage, which in itself is just ridiculous.
That seems shameful. I mean, the fact that that's being said, I don't know how to cope with that. Batu Caves is such an iconic place, and I don't think a fresh coat of paint should be enough to, well, that's it then.
No, Lynn. These quotes are random quotes from people who don't really know what they're talking about, and they just pull it out of places, right? Because they're not
clarifying.
They're not. I mean, this isn't actually coming from the National Heritage Board and its commissioners. It's not. It's random activists talking about it. And I think they should get their facts straight before talking. Like, I don't know. So I'm not going to make a claim saying that, oh, look, you've painted the stairs and therefore it's no longer heritage. Also, we need to think about what areas have been demarked as heritage. Now, the temple is. Are the stairs heritage? What makes them heritage? What unique characteristics do these stairs have that that warrant that they be gazetted as something heritage? I mean, I don't know. In future, does it mean that you cannot put, say, a stair lift, for example, for people with disabilities to go up because it would change things too much? So these are all questions that need to be asked.
In line with that, I mean, the temple committee has also said that not only does the temple now look better than many of those in India, the funds were also used to give devotees a more comfortable space to pray, which is really important. I mean, if we're talking about how money is being spent, it's crucial to know that part of it is, yes, now the stairs look beautiful and everybody's taking photos and talking about it, but also that people who are actually going there as a sacred space are being given a better sacred space in which to practice.
No, what I hope this does is I hope this gives rise to a conversation about what the National Heritage Council does.
And their jurisdiction.
Not just the jurisdiction, but what they actually provide. If you look at heritage councils all over the world, in the UK, for example, if your site is listed as, and there are multiple classes of heritage, right, you actually get government protection funding. They provide funds to preserve the space and all of this stuff. And I don't know how much our national heritage actually does that. In the UK, there's a national lottery, which you can apply for funds if you're a heritage site, so you can do maintenance work and all of these. It's a thing. It's properly thought out.
So what you're saying is if they're going to come out and start kind of laying claim on the things that people do to, I suppose, make things better, make our heritage sites better than they'd best be contributing?
I'm all for protecting heritage, but they can't just make statements and not actually contribute.
Okay. Something else that we talked about yesterday, it was something to do, well, not something to do, it was pretty specific. Private clinics were supposedly going to go through a price hike, raising their prices 3 times more. We've got more on that.
I do agree with the increase based on inflation and cost of living of doctors and everything. However, I have to say that some clinics that I've went to, the doctors are not very thorough. So I feel like they don't really, for lack of a better word, deserve this increment.
That was Lila calling us yesterday about the report on charges for consultation fees in private clinics across Malaysia costing about 3 times the current price. This is a possibility starting January of next year.
So we've got an update to that story today because the Medical Practitioners Coalition Association of Malaysia, that's a mouthful, has confirmed today that private practitioners will not be hiking their fees. Now, it's a little bit confusing, the math, I have to admit. Deputy President Dr. Raj Kumar Maharaj has said the overall cost per visit by each patient will remain unchanged even with the gazetting of new GP fees. So despite that increase, the total cost of the treatment encounter, including consultation, medication and procedures, is going to remain the same? I don't know.
It's super confusing. Apparently, the price adjustments actually have more to do with addressing the discrepancy in pricing between shop lot private clinics and GPs working in private hospitals, right? So apparently in 2013, the consultation fee for GPs working in private hospitals were revised to 35 ringgit to 125 ringgit, but this did not affect shop lot clinics, which remained at the 10 ringgit and 35 ringgit mark.
Now, I have to say that there is something about this that reminded me of a few messages that came in yesterday that we didn't get to. Because I think, Uma, yesterday you alluded to the fact that doctors, a lot of the doctors practicing have paid a lot, worked very long to get those qualifications, and that ultimately they're doing the same sort of work. And that's what led to this request, apparently, because doctors wanted a more streamlined approach to their fees. A few people did write in to say that they hope or they think that doctors should be doing the work they do not for a return on investment, on their investment in themselves, I suppose, but to save lives and to do good.
You got to live, though. I mean, it's not national service.
I think that that's one part of it, right? Of course, you don't want a doctor who's treating you to be motivated only by the bottom line.
No, of course not.
But we also have to remember that they're people.
And yeah, I mean, you know, but sometimes I think, you know, I think accountants do God's work. Maybe they shouldn't charge me so much to do my taxes every year.
I see. How many other people would agree with you on accountants doing God's work?
I know. That's my point.
Let us know. The Ministry's Pharmacy Division have also mentioned that medicine prices will soon be regulated and controlled by the government. Basically, doctors get to charge their deserved consultation fee while the price of medicine will remain competitive and determined by market forces. And somehow, in total, patients will pay the same.
Yeah, the logic which is beyond me at this point is, doesn't it mean shop lot doctors' fees will just go up?
Because maybe they're asking us to take a look at doctors as a whole. So, in general, if you're looking at hospitals and shop lot doctors, finally you will be paying
all average outla.
Yes, but to the average consumer, I don't know how that plays out.
All right. For now, Dato' Dr. Haji Azman bin Abu Bakar, the Deputy Director General of Health, has said that there will be continued engagement with stakeholders to come to an agreement.
The opening hours. And we're also asking about the bundling, whether it should be bundling or not bundling. So these are the issues that we're looking. In fact, most of the things have already been engaged with the consumer groups prior to this. So when decision has to be made, we really take into account of what has been asked to consumers, what their feelings are about everything. So that's why it cannot be done in one day or 1 month or 1 year. And of course, you should understand, cases in medicine are not as simple as we think about. Somebody has a cough and cold, could be something more sinister than that. So that's why we have to really look into all these things.
All right, that was the Deputy Director General of Health, Dr. Haji Azman bin Abu Bakar. It's a story that we're going to be following both in the evening edition. I'm sure the Bigger Pictures Health and Living segment is going to cover it as well. After this, we're going to be talking about Facebook, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. We've been talking about Batu Caves, we've been talking about doctors. Lynn, we've got some messages.
Yes, we do. One from Aaron who says, medical care is a necessity and not a choice. It should be controlled and be at an affordable price. If it keeps increasing, it will put pressure on the lower income groups and then medical care will become a luxury. The poor will die. I mean, can the poor even afford to die? Which is a question for another story, but a good one.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that notion up till the fact that then whose job is it to provide medical care? Is it the state's job? And at which point are you as a taxpayer willing to put in the taxpayer dollars and pay a lot more tax to ensure that medical care is top-notch for every citizen, right?
We also have a tweet from B-Ray who says, time to move on to seeing a pharmacist, which again is a big Malaysian habit that I think has been addressed on Health and Living about why maybe sometimes that's not the best idea.
Yeah, 0377109000 is the number to call with your thoughts. We've got Ken on the line. Hey, Ken, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts is about the doctor GP fees. That I think that is something that, I mean, if they wanted to consider this, I think the government should think this twice or fourth time. It's because it's like, I mean, for me personally, I buy this medical insurance, the medical card, okay? So if the fees is increased, mm-hmm. Indirectly, that will increase the premiums.
Yes,
that
yes. For your insurance.
Yes, and then, and that is personal. And think about the company or the organization that they buy those coverage for their staff, the outpatient and hospitalization, that will also increase for the insurance coverage as well for the organization. So it's going to impact the personnel as well as the organization.
No, you're absolutely right.
And then recently we talked about this, the minimum wages from 1,000 to 1,500, right? So mm-hmm. this will be another, I mean, the increase of this there will be another pain for the organization. So I think that this is indirectly increased the cost of living, not only for us and also for the organization of doing business under this tough situation now. Okay. So my opinion is that, my observation is that, I mean, with a new government, it seems like a lot of institutions or whatever that they try to give a try, they want to increase and this and that and that and it's not then. So I'm not suggest for having this to be increased because I don't see a doctor or I don't see a specialist that can't earn a living. Okay, it's a matter whether they want to have a luxurious life or they want to drive a big car or a big house. Okay, so this is my opinion.
All right. Thank you very much, Ken, for your thoughts. There is a sense that doctors somehow have to be more charitable in what they do.
Yes, there is.
I mean, with lawyers charging thousands of dollars for a letter.
Because those aren't life-saving letters.
I think people do feel this
sense of, well, you know, if you're in the position to save my life, you should do it without me then having to owe you my life forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go on to our next story. We're going to be taking a look at Facebook, or more specifically from within Facebook. More than 100 employees have joined an online group called FBers for Political Diversity to apparently tackle the intolerance of conservative views at Facebook.
So this was first sparked by...
I hate that sound. Okay.
Why do you hate that sound?
It
tells you that you've got something, a social obligation that you need to meet.
It tells me that I've got a social obligation, but it's neither forceful or forthcoming or muted enough. It's just a bit of a nothing sound. It's a very
Agreed,
annoying.
But before this turns into a Facebook focus group, this was first sparked by a post that went up within Facebook's internal message board saying, we have a problem with political diversity. This then spread quickly at the Facebook office. The post wrote, we are a political monoculture that's intolerant of different views. We claim to welcome all perspectives, but are quick to attack, often in mobs, anyone who presents a view that appears to be in opposition to left-leaning ideology.
Yeah, the goal of the group, FBers for Political Philosophy... Political Diversity is to create a space for ideological diversity within the company, but it's posts have offended minorities. This is according to the New York Times.
This is kind of predictable, right? Yes, it's what you'd expect. And of course, this formation is coming about as some conservatives are already growing suspicious of Silicon Valley, accusing companies like Google, Facebook and Twitter of liberal bias and suppression of conservative voices. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump accused Google of doctoring its search results for Trump news to show only negative coverage about him, which is a charge that Google denied. At this point, I think we can just assume that that is absolutely false. It's not as if there's a lot of positive coverage about
Donald
Trump.
I was just going to say, I think if you search positive coverage of Donald Trump, it may say, did you mean negative coverage of Donald Trump?
I think all of it already shows up on his desk every day. I don't think there's much left.
So Google came under the spotlight last year for a similar issue. If you remember, there was the Google memo, which circulated last year, which reasoned that men are naturally better at computers than women. It was written by James Damore, then a Google software engineer. He was fired a month later. CEO Sundar Pichai told MSNBC earlier this year that he does not regret the firing.
It's tough to communicate a nuanced issue in today's climate, and so it played out in a polarized way. I regret that people misunderstand that we may have made this because of a political belief one way or the other. I regret those things. But it is important for the women at Google and for all the people at Google. We want to create an inclusive environment in the context of a workplace. Was the right decision for us to make. I don't regret that.
Although, having said that, what's happening with Facebook may not be as cut and dry. The complaints from the internal Facebook post ranged from unspecified individuals tearing down posters welcoming Trump supporters to allegations that employees had been fired over their support of the conservative All Lives Matter catchphrase.
There's also a lot of scare quotes around terms like social justice, diversity, equality and offensive, suggesting that having the temerity to say the wrong things about these sensitive issues at Facebook can be costly to one's reputation and career.
I think it's a mess, but I will say that it seems like Facebook can't seem to stop getting into messes recently. At least it looks that way.
They're coming of age. They're having these important conversations, and these important conversations are messy.
Just to kind of sum up the story we did earlier about doctors, we had a message from Mahmoud Hisham who said, doctors spend about 1 million ringgit just for their first degree. Even before they're able to repay that, they need to spend more money to become a specialist, even more than to become a subspecialist. We don't want our kids to avoid becoming a doctor because then they'll be in debt till death, saving people's lives.
All right. Lots of opinions on that story. Keep those thoughts coming in, 03-771-09000. And of course, Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You're listening to the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.